Israeli journalist David Horovitz just spoke with us about the terrors of living through a wave of suicide bombings in Israel. My guest, Ghassan Khatib, is a Palestinian journalist living under Israeli occupation in the West Bank. He's publisher of the Palestine Report Online and is the director of the Jerusalem Media and Communication Center. David Horovitz said that the reason for the Israeli military occupation is that although Arafat has promised to deal with suicide bombers and snipers, he hasn't, forcing the Israeli military to respond. I asked Ghassan Khatib for his response to that.
I think this is a partial treatment of the much wider problem. I think the whole event, whether it is the Israeli violence or the Palestinian violence, are happening within the general context of the ongoing Israeli occupation to the Palestinian territories, which is now a 34-year-old occupation. And the Palestinians have been trying all possible means to end that occupation. The Palestinians went along with the peace process for 10 years, hoping that this will be enough to end this occupation in peaceful means. Unfortunately, what we got in these 10 years were only increasing the Israeli illegal Jewish settlements that are erected and built on land that are confiscated by the virtue of force from the Palestinian farmers, which is about consolidating the occupation. So the Palestinians, who might be making lots of mistakes, but they are doing the right and the wrong acts in the context of trying to fight by whatever possible means this Israeli occupation. It's about time, actually, to have an international peace initiative that will be consistent with the international law and with the relative Security Council resolution, particularly 242, which calls for ending the occupation in return for full peace and recognition of the State of Israel in the Middle East, with some effort, some international effort, some international political weight behind some such initiative, because when the parties are left on their own, unfortunately, all what we get is more and more of this ongoing vicious circle of violence.
Now, what David Horovitz and many other Israelis say is that they feel like they've been lied to or taken advantage of, in the sense that they feel that Israel made a lot of concessions and came up with a very good deal at Camp David, and that in return they were slapped in the face by Palestinians who didn't follow through and started up with suicide bombings. In fact, what Horovitz was saying was that he thinks that a lot of Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza don't really understand exactly what the Israelis were offering at Camp David, because Arafat hasn't given a very clear accounting of that, nor has the Palestinian media.
This is completely incorrect, because the Palestinians in the Palestinian territories are more exposed to the Israeli media and to the statements of the Israeli politicians than being exposed to the Palestinian media. And I think our friend Horovitz do know that some of the surveys that our center did showed that there is more Palestinians who watch Israeli TV than those who watch Palestinian TV. The Palestinians do understand exactly all what the Israelis has to say about the story of Camp David negotiations. And because they know that offer, they supported their leaders' rejection of this offer. Because the negotiations here is not about negotiations between lawyers over real estate in order to bargain over percentages of hectares or dunams. The problem is a problem of a homeland that is under occupation.
One of the things the Palestinians want is the right of return, the right of millions of Palestinian refugees to return to what is now Israel. And that would mean that Palestinians would outnumber Israelis and Israel would no longer be a Jewish state. In other words, Israel would no longer be Israel as we know it. Do you think that's going to forever be a sticking point, or do you think there's a compromise way around that?
First of all, this is not what the Palestinians are asking for. This is only what the Israelis are trying to put in our mouth. And I challenge anybody, if any Palestinian leader has said that he wants those 4 or 6 million Palestinians to return. All what we are saying is that we have to find a just solution to the refugees' problem. And that just solution should be in accordance with the international law, whatever the international law is, whatever the relevant Security Council resolutions on this issue are. And in this regard, we think that those Palestinian refugees has to be treated in a fair way. Some of them probably needs to be compensated. Some of them probably needs to be resettled wherever they are. Some of them maybe needs to be offered an attractive passport to some country. Some of them should be absorbed in the forthcoming Palestinian state, and some of them should be guaranteed the right to return to their homeland, which is now Israel. Now, the quantity of those who should return back to Israel should be negotiated in a way that should take into consideration the vital interests of the two sides, including the state of Israel. This is what we are saying, but Israel is refusing to recognize the principle of the right of return and refusing to deal in principle with any return, even for one single Palestinian refugee, which is not going to lead us anywhere, because leaving the problem of the refugees unsolved will keep the whole conflict unsolved, because the majority of the Palestinian people are refugees. Those refugees who has been kicked out of their houses for 50 years needs to be treated in accordance with the international law.
I recently interviewed Charles Sennett, who spent a few years as the Boston Globe's Middle East correspondent. He left that position just a few months ago. And he was saying that in his observation, this second intifada is much more Islamic fundamentalist in nature. It has more of an Islamist agenda than the first intifada did. And I wonder if you could comment on that.
First of all, this intifada has come as a result of the failure of the peace process. So the fact that the peace process failed and the fact that the relations between the two sides became confrontational rather than peaceful negotiation played to the hand of the opposition of the peace process, including the Islamic fundamentalists. The secular tendencies within the Palestinian society and the current leadership were telling the Palestinian people that we can achieve the end of the occupation by peaceful means. Now, they failed, which gave the upper hand to those who kept saying in the last 10 years that Israel only understands the language of power, and when you negotiate with Israel, they will only increase their settlements on our territories and so on. So yes, unfortunately, the failure of the peace process is naturally playing to the hand of the opposition groups, including the Islamists in our society.
I think there's a lot of Israeli disillusionment now with Yasser Arafat, and I'm wondering how he's regarded among Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank now, both as a peace negotiator, but also as the head of the Palestinian Authority. You know, it's the group that's ruling Gaza and the West Bank now.
Well, now anybody who is in Arafat's position would be in trouble. Arafat is having internal difficulties recently because he is under pressure from inside and outside. From outside, Israel, the Americans, the Europeans have been putting him in pressure in order to stop and to prevent any act of resistance against the Israelis. While at the same time, the Palestinian public, who have been under tremendous pressure from the occupation and its practices and atrocities, are refusing these restraints that are imposed by Arafat against their resistance and reaction to the Israeli ongoing siege and assassinations and so on. So Arafat, when he is pressurized to stop the resistance, he's not given anything to empower him internally and enable him to be convincing to his people.
My guest is Palestinian journalist Ghassan Khatib. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Ghassan Khatib, publisher of the Palestine Report Online. He lives in the West Bank. Hanan Ashrawi, who is a Palestinian activist and had been a spokesperson for the peace delegation several years ago and had worked with the Palestinian Authority, she recently commented on Osama bin Laden's adoption of the Palestinian cause, because he's now including the Palestinian cause as one of his causes. She said about that, "Our cause is not up for grabs. You do not have the right to use it for your ends. We have been victims all our lives, and we do not condone the victimization of others." Is this a popular opinion among Palestinians now?
I think most of the Palestinians will agree on that. The Palestinian society, by large, is a secular society. That's why bin Laden's appeal to the Palestinian people and to the Palestinian cause did not attract the attention of the majority of the Palestinian here, who don't feel that we have much in common with the Afghanis. I have to remind you that this Palestinian cause is very popular and very credible in our region. And anybody who wants to extract public sympathy and credibility would try to link his cause with the Palestinian cause. That's why I believe it would be useful not only for the Palestinians and the Israelis, but also for different superpowers and for the cause of peace worldwide in general, to bring to an end this injustice that the Palestinians have been living in by helping ending this Israeli occupation. And I'm sure this will be enough to bring about serious and real peace and hopefully consequently economic prosperity in the Middle East.
I want to ask you about something that Sari Nusseibeh said. He's been a Palestinian spokesperson and participated in earlier rounds of peace talks. And he was commentating on what he thinks is the more extremist end of the Palestinian movement. He said, "We're telling the Israelis, we want to kick you out. It's not that we want liberation, freedom, and independence in the West Bank and Gaza. We want to kick you out of your home. And in order to make sure that the Israelis get the message, people go out to a disco or restaurant and blow themselves up. The whole thing is just crazy, ugly, totally counterproductive. The secret is to get Israelis to side with you. We've lost our allies." Is that a popular opinion in Palestine now, that in the Gaza and West Bank now, that things have gone too far and that it's counterproductive, and that we, you know, that Palestinians need Israel as an ally in peace talks?
Well, the problem is that this is a little bit late, because we have been all saying this during the peace process, and bringing back the relations into confrontational ones strengthened the argument of the extremists and weakened the arguments of the peace camp.
You live in the West Bank. Tell us where you live and how your day-to-day life has been changed by the Israeli military presence there.
I live in Ramallah, which is one of the most prominent towns, which is only 10 miles from Jerusalem. And I teach in a nearby university, which is 7 miles from the town where I live, Bir Zeit University. But unfortunately, since the beginning of this intifada, Israel has put all of us, the 3 million Palestinians, under siege. And we feel like animals being kept in big cages. So nobody is allowed to leave his town or village. So, for example, we haven't been able to go to our university, and whoever has his school for his children in the same village or town, then he's lucky. Otherwise, students are deprived from going to their schools if it's in outside the village. There has been a tremendous effect of this closure on all our aspects of life. Half of the Palestinian people became under the poverty line as a result of the economic suffering that is resulted from the economic sanctions and the closure. In addition, there has been a harsh Israeli policy in terms of shelling and killing. So far, the Israelis have killed 800 Palestinians in this year of Intifada and injured 22,000 Palestinians.
As you've pointed out, the what's making Palestinians angriest right now is the Israeli occupation. And on the Palestinian side, this is the greatest impasse in the peace process. On the Israeli side, the problem is the suicide bombings in Israel. Is there anything that you think could be or should be done on the Palestinian side to try to stop the suicide bombings?
Yes. There is one thing that can be done which can stop all Palestinian violence, which is ending the Israeli occupation or a political prospect about the possibility or the hope of an end for that occupation. Because when the Palestinians were invited to the peace process, they got the impression that this is going to bring them sooner or later an end of this occupation. So they dropped all kind of violence, absolutely. To the extent that a prominent Israeli journalist called Danny Rubenstein, coincidentally a few weeks before the beginning of the Intifada, reminded the Israeli people that the last violent Palestinian activity against the Israelis were 4 years ago. But when this peace process collapsed and the Palestinians lost the hope of ending this occupation peacefully, and when Barak allowed Sharon to enter the Palestinian Holy Mosque of Jerusalem by force, violence erupted again from the two sides. So it's either, if there is no end of occupation, the Palestinian public should be part of a peace process that will give the impression, the hope, about a possible peaceful solution to this conflict.
Well, Ghassan Khatib, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Ghassan Khatib is the publisher of the Palestine Report Online and director of the Jerusalem Media and Communication Center.